This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, April 26th, 2016, episode 67. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me for another wonderful week of podcasting, Brian Aldridge. Hey, Brian.
A wonderful world of
podcasting. Wonderful world of podcasting. Hey, Brian.
Yep. Hey, if you want to find me, go ahead and go to @BoiseyComputer on Twitter or go to, you could do InfectionPodcast.com.
I'm already done. Obviously, you're not listening.
Well, yeah. I was going to say you could go there.
Yeah, it's fine.
But definitely check out BiteOfTech.com with an I, of course. On there's links to all my different things. So we got that one extra member on our Steam group, so we were back at 350, so we should feel good.
And now, see, now that you said that, we are now going to lose.
Now we're
going to
have one person leave.
Yeah.
Go down back to 349.
So I guess that's a good well, I'm going to say this at the beginning of the show, because I feel like we always promote this stuff at the end, and then nobody ever hears it. So
yeah, because people quit listening about a quarter of the way through, so we need to say it now.
Well, it's not even that. I think Brian and I were talking earlier today, and it's like, we'll cover stuff like our Steam group, and if you get up to use the bathroom or grab a drink or grab something to eat like halfway or towards the end of the show, you miss it, because we'd cover it in like 30 seconds. So our friend Langun and our friend Saul, who if you've ever played with us, you'll know those two names. They are kind of taking over. They're taking over Infection Podcast.
next week, they're going to be the only ones on the show. Nick and I are going on vacation.
Yeah, we're going on vacation. We're going to Malibu. They're going to be taking over. And for a while now, Langun and Saul have been running our Friday night game nights. But now, Langun and Saul are pretty much going to be doing it, setting it up and running it exclusively. So this is the new.
No, I'm usually always there.
And I'm going to be there more and more now as well.
Yeah, Langun pretty much will do the live stream, and I usually just host it. So we'll make it so that he has the ability to put out an event post and, you know, promote it and have
exactly.
It where he has some more access.
So so we're trying this out, and we're actually planning it out earlier in the week. So if nothing changes this week, we're going to be doing an H1Z1 King of the Kill Night, and that'll be Friday, somewhere between 9 and 9:30 Eastern. And what I want you to do is, if you're in our Steam group, and well, first of all, if you're not in our Steam group, I want you to join the Steam group. You can find that at infectionpodcast.com or search for Infection in the Steam community page. And once you're in there, there's an events list, and Langun either today or tomorrow will be adding Friday night's game to that list. So today or tomorrow, you'll see H1Z1 King of the Kill in that list there. So if you ever miss the show live or we don't mention it on the show, you can go there. And in the case of like next week, there's a plan to do the Overwatch beta. So you can know beforehand to install the Overwatch beta.
Yeah, get everything downloaded. This gives you enough heads up to go to whatever site. Because we tried to do
Survival
the Ark
Fittest. Yeah.
Survival of the Fittest. But the problem is, it's what, a 14 gigabyte?
I thought it was like a 40 gig download.
I don't remember. It's big. And so we're telling people a half an hour before, oh, yeah, we're going to do Survival of the Fittest. So they start their downloads. Some people, their Steam downloads are stopping and slowing down and pausing. It's like, okay, well, some of us got to play it, and then we switch to another game.
Yeah,
so we'll give you enough heads up to where maybe you don't have a 200 megabit internet connection. You can go and have some time to download the game and be ready for it on Friday.
Exactly. So the moral of the story is, check out the Steam group. Actually, I just closed out of Steam. Actually, but I can pull it back up. If you go to our Steam group, let me pull this up really quick here. You can go, if you go to the Infection, I think it's a
group.
Is it a community or a group?
It's a group.
Okay, it's a group. So if you go to the Infection group, let me pull this up here. You will see.
Oh, we got another member. So someone is listening and realize they are not a member of the group.
This isn't pulling up, but if you go
to the Infection group, and then you'll see events. You go to events, and it will show in this month, because it'll have upcoming events and then a category of past events. So just check out the next upcoming event. Right now it says come play the game of the week, and it shows it as King of the Kill.
Uh-oh.
It says,
see, I start Steam.
You know, if you want to get on our team speak,
I start Steam. Guess what happens? Arc. Huh? I start Steam, Ark starts, yeah, starts downloading instantly. All right, here we go. So I can show this now. So this is our Steam group. And like Brian said, you go to events, and what will be... Actually, he's already scheduled it.
It's all scheduled and ready to go.
Did you do this, or did he do this?
No, he actually did.
Okay, so this is already scheduled, folks. So you can go in here, and this was scheduled by Langan. So April 29th at 9:30 is when we'll be doing this, and you can join the TeamSpeak. He'll be streaming, and he's got his Twitch channel in here. So every week, we want to get you into the habit of every week going to the Steam group, going to the events.
Yeah, plan on playing games with us on Friday nights.
Exactly. So do that, but you can go to the Steam group earlier in the
it's
week.
Much cheaper than going to the bars.
Or going to the movies, for a matter of fact.
Yeah. 20-something bucks per person.
Yeah, exactly. So you can go in there, you'll see the event, you can get the game downloaded or updated if you need to do so. And we'll want to thank Langun and Saul for kind of grabbing that and controlling that. So just wanted to get that out there. To start off now, do we have any?
So now Firebomb brought up something.
Okay.
And I think I know why. Some people were saying like a week ago, 2 weeks ago that the podcast stopped downloading.
Yeah. That he wasn't the only
and
one to
say.
It's
because I installed HTTP2 and it's got to be that those podcast apps aren't updated for the new HTTP2 protocol. So, which is it's a newer, faster protocol, but it, you know, like these apps probably aren't thinking about
well,
that.
Then he
so
says,
I turned it off today. So now it's working again.
Okay. Well, then I guess.
So I decided I'm going to turn it off for 6 months, give the apps time to update. Because if they don't have HTTP.
Oh my God.
I can't even say HTTP2 in 6 months, then, you know, get a new app.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, so that was did you do? Yeah, because
I did that today.
Agnostic messaged me too and was like, "Hey, the show's not downloading," and I was like, "It's
probably on certain, probably on certain ones because if they aren't communicating or aren't able to communicate in HTTP."
Oh my God, Brian!
I don't know why I can't say it. You said it once.
Wait, HTTP2.
Yes, okay. HTTP2.
Okay, so
I had an extra T in there.
Yeah, so real quick. Podcast app I recommend, not affiliated with this company at all. It's called Pocket Casts or Casts. Yes. It's like $3 or $4. But I would totally recommend it. They constantly update it. It'll sync between multiple devices, your start and stop time. So if you had an issue downloading your app, or downloading the show with the app you use, see if you can find a different app.
Most likely they're using some older app or something and it's just not been updated in a while because this is a newer technology, but I was like, I'll downgrade it for now because, you know, some apps maybe it takes them a couple months to update,
or they don't even know that it's an issue to be updated.
They may not even realize, you know, all these servers are starting to roll this out now. I mean, it's just becoming a big thing.
So Firebomb 80, do me and Brian a favor, go to the website infectionpodcast.com and submit a contact request with the name of your app so we can contact the developers and tell them they need to download
that. So Unicorn Joe says he's looking it up. He can't find the HTTP
protocol. No app support HTTP poo, unfortunately.
No HTTP poo from you.
So, if you have an issue downloading the show, send us the name and we'll contact the company.
I started getting some reports, and so I looked into it because I had upgraded my server to that. And it's because they are coming to the website and downloading it from a direct link from the website, it is using that. It's not like FTP or anything else. So it is reliant on them understanding how to communicate in the latest protocols. So
gotcha. So
we'll work on it. I mean, over the next couple months, if I see that, you know, we'll turn it on probably at some point for a week and see what happens, if people report.
Well, that would explain, because this week's show did have a lower number of downloads. When did you turn the thing on?
Like a week and a half ago.
Okay, that would make sense, because I did say, I was like, God, there's nobody. The downloads were much lower this week. That would explain.
And it's got to be the apps aren't able to download it,
which is very odd. So
now we know. I mean, exactly. You know, I found it today, and I was like, because I noticed it because old Safari versions of Safari couldn't view the website, couldn't view, and so I was like, okay, it's got to be. And so I tracked it down to that.
PHPoo5. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So enough poo and enough tech. We had, and I'm gonna give my Nick Craig seal of approval, probably the best producers update that the best update, not just the producer's update, because that's kind of a new thing, but the best update and the most extensive update I think we have ever seen for H1Z1 this past week. And this was a King of the Kill update, but most of these updates, they're two-way streets. So most of the King of the Kill stuff is you know, Just Survive and the same thing with the Just Survive stuff. So this was all about Z2, which we haven't heard a lot about in a while. Actually, I don't think we've ever heard from anybody officially about Z2 actually happening. We've seen some Reddit comments, but I don't think they've ever actually released anything about Z2. So this is the
They mention it, but they haven't.
But they've never elaborated on what Z2 is.
Remember, they had that video showing, here is us making the terrain.
Yeah.
You know, of the original map, it was just the terrain that was in that train producer, generator. You know, and that shows it's pretty early. When he was placing a lake in the terrain, and that's what he was showing, that shows that nothing had been placed yet at that point, because he wouldn't be placing a lake on a live stream. I mean, that shows you that was the beginning of Z2.
Exactly.
As far as the actual map, you know, what you see in a lot of these things is them making portions that maybe they'll place on the map, but the map wasn't made.
Exactly. So this is so some information on Z2. This is going to be this is going to take a while to go through this producer update. So the first thing I don't understand is they say that Z2 will be in both King of the Kill and Just Survive. But King of the Kill is coming to consoles this year. Spring of 2016 or it was spring or summer or fall of 2016. Sometime in 2016 they referenced King of the Kill coming to consoles. That was part of the game split. That was part of it. This will be in beta and on consoles in either the summer or the fall or something like that. So, how is Z2 going to be in that game if it's already? It's not going to be out by the summer because it's a whole map. Yeah. So that's the first thing to understand. But that's irrelevant. So,
And the thing is they want to get the whole map done before they release it, because if they do it piecemeal, it's 2.9 right now. It's 2.9 gigabytes per map, or, you know, per update. So whenever even if they make a small change to the map, that's a 2.9 gigabyte download.
Well, I'm hoping that when they're building this map, they have a different way of deploying the map, so they don't have to export the entire terrain.
If they could get it to where it's not the whole terrain, because right now they change a building layout at all. They're not going to want to be doing, this week we did these updates, because every week you're going to have a 2.9 plus, however big it is at that point, download.
Yeah. So
it would become a headache.
Exactly. So this is the the Z2 map is going to be 8 kilometers by 8 kilometers of playable space, and it's going to have its typical trees, mountains, lakes, rocks, so on and so forth. And then they cover what the process is. So there's a bulleted list on here. So I'm going to go through these. So the first thing is generating the terrain, which we saw in that live stream, but that's probably changed. That was before this new game producer came in. That may have changed. So the first thing is generating the terrain. Then the next thing is a point of interest population. So then they go around, once they have a terrain, then they put the points of interest on the map. If there's 5 points of interest, they place those down in various spots. Then they do the player spawn and loot population, where they spawn the players and spawn the loot. And then they actually build, they do the building layout and design, so the inside of the buildings and how those are going to lay out, so on and so forth. And then once they have the buildings done, they'll do the city layout and design, laying out the cities, adding the roads, bus stops, signs, lights, so on and so forth. Then they'll do an art pass on the terrain, because the terrain at this point is literally just going to be terrain. It's probably just going to be gray mesh, or it's all going to be green or something like that. There's not going to be any art on it.
Yeah, it's going to be just a very generic, probably pattern laid across. Kind of like what it is right now.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, they're probably going to go through and then saying, okay, well, we want to have it be more of like a road that has curvature here, you know, like a path.
Stylizing is kind of irrelevant at this point. It doesn't really matter. So they'll do
the
art pass on the terrain. Then they'll do a tree pass and put some trees in there. Art pass on building. Then a lighting pass, and then optimization. So if I had to guess, I would say we are at the point, we're at point 3 or 4, which would be spawn and loot population and building layout and design.
How are they going to do spawn and loot population before building layout and design. As far as they're probably saying, now, well, with the building layout and design, are they just placing the buildings themselves and not making them look habitable?
No, they are, because because that building layout and design.
How are you going to put loot in a building that's not there yet?
Well, there's loot that's not in buildings. There's loot that's lying on the ground.
Yeah, but then they're going to have to do it twice.
Which they will.
Maybe those are kind of in the same step and they just put them in that order, because that would make no sense that you'd be making the building layout and the city layout.
Yeah, that seemed a little odd.
The spawn of the loot.
But I'd say they're at the point where they're probably doing, I would say they're probably into buildings at this point. I would assume. I have no information to support that. That is total speculation. But if
most of what we see is them doing either city layout as far as blocks.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of on this test map making a city block, and I assume they're going to take that, move it over. Okay, here's a city block.
Yeah.
Because it's tough for them to work on a huge map, because they're having to sync these files to all these different computers, and it gets to be it could be a very big mess trying to work on all these at once. So I'm assuming that's why they're like, okay, your department's going to work on this piece. When you're ready, we'll put it in the main design, test it, make sure everything's good. But it's for efficiency.
Exactly. So that is that's what's going on with Z2 in the producer update. And then they talk about how the whole point of interest thing will work, so on and so forth. If you're really interested in this stuff, go read it. I don't want to just kind of regurgitate it, because I'm sure most people have already checked that out. Then there was an ignition test last weekend. This was released on the 20th, so on Wednesday. So they did an ignition test last weekend.
Because they did one a number of weeks ago.
Yeah, probably 4 weeks ago.
So now they're doing their final test run. So they were doing the final test run of ignition. So.
And then they talked about cameras in combat. The same stuff we've already talked about. There's nothing new with cameras in combat.
Kind of repeating. Just because they haven't put it in yet, they keep talking about it.
Exactly.
of these things, so...
And then there's something that we'll cover later. And then the recent bug fixes is cameras as they talked about before, which we've already talked about. Hit markers should no longer appear when hitting a door. So you won't get a hit marker when you hit a door. Parachutes should get stuck on objects much less frequently now than they did in the past. You should no longer take damage at the end of the parachute sequence, which I really have not noticed.
How many times have we seen?
But I haven't noticed that. This point, it must be a very small issue.
I don't think it's full damage. It must be just a slight amount of damage, because I've not seen people dying.
Well, I bet you it depends what object you land on, how you land on it, because I have not taken
I think when
damage
you hit a house, sometimes it does give you a little bit of damage, or did.
And they've probably figured that out. And then they added a UI option to autofill your team in the 2 and 5 man BR matches. So there you go. So
is this saying that now you don't have to have 5 people?
No. It's saying autofill. No, that would not be.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If you go in with, 3 people into a 5 man, is this having a checkbox that says, I want you to autofill the rest of the slots? Or if you uncheck it, are you able to go in with 3 people?
Possibly,
like we've been asking for.
Yeah, that might be it. But it says it added a UI option, not a game option.
What I'm saying, though. They probably added a checkbox to do this. And we'll have to try it this Friday.
Yeah, we'll try it this. Actually, I don't even think this is out yet. I don't think it's not even out yet, so we can't even try this.
They said
yet.
In the next few weeks. Okay. Yeah. Well, if they don't have it out by then, is that it, though? That's kind of what I'm thinking, is that this is you being able to go in and do a BR match with less than the people, so you don't have to wait in the queue. Hopefully.
Possibly.
Without picking up randoms.
Yeah, I would think so, but I can't. I
hopefully.
Can't say for
we'll
sure.
see. Yeah, it's speculation.
It's total speculation. Now, one of the things in the producer update was the new crate. And this is, it's called Extreme Zombie.
Extreme Zombie Wrestling.
Zombie Wrestling.
Wrestling. EZW.
Yeah, EZW. So they're going all out like WWE on this, and I'm sure WWE fans are loving this. So this is, but these images look so stupid on the cover. It's like it's the same pose. Like they're just extreme. It's extreme. it doesn't really make any sense. And then we've got a picture from our good friend Gadlaw here.
Gadlaw, yeah.
Who there's some emotes. There's the power pose emote. Listening to the crowd, which is the big like WWE thing. You know, get them chanting your name. There's some other cool stuff on here. Is the championship belt. And that's about it. There's some other just like kind of odd stuff. Like nobody who like I don't know who's gonna win the pink wear the pink.
No, it
zebra
seems like they're
kind
of stealing from some old wrestlers.
Wrestler, yeah. Who's the mouth of the south? Was, is that
there's there was Macho Man.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Randy Savage. He's that hat, right?
No, is he that hat? I don't know.
Yeah, I swear he's that hat.
All right.
Nacho Dude is that kind of mocking on. Hulk,
I don't know, but the
I'm just thinking from these old ones like these
mouth
are,
of the south.
Stealings.
Yeah, but isn't Jimmy Hart the one that wears the pink cowboy hat? I'm not sure.
Hold on.
Mouth of the South. I'm
Macho Man Randy Savage. He wore hats like that.
Okay.
He wore hats. They weren't necessarily pink. Who were you thinking of?
Jimmy Hart. No, Jimmy Hart didn't wear a hat. No, he was just insane.
No, it wasn't Jimmy Hart. So if you look at Macho Man, he would wear hats, like ridiculous hats like this. So I swear that that's where they're getting this whole concept of this. And I thought it was, I mean, if you look at that shirt, it has somewhat of resemblance to the Hulk Hogan.
There you go. So this will be in there.
I'm just not, I mean, personally, okay, so I sent you an image.
Oh, do you have
that helmet? It'll be in Steam, so let me pull it up.
Yeah,
because that's where I sent it to you, right?
No, you sent it to me on Skype.
I mean, sorry, not Steam.
Yeah,
Skype.
Throw it in the show notes. So, PHVCK, I don't get it. I think that sums it up perfectly. It would have been, you know, it would have been cool if they actually worked with the WWE and got some. Like real
actual assets, like paid some licensing fee.
Yeah, to get some like real, you know, to put some like real wrestling shit in the game. Like it would have been cool to have, like a Hulk Hogan on a T-shirt. Like that would have been cool for
licensing would have been expensive.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure well, this isn't the one from them, is it? Oh, that's okay. Mm-hmm. So
I was saying is that hat to me looks like.
So they added this. They added this spiked hat thing right here, this spiked helmet, and then Brian sends me this image. Which what did you search on Amazon to find this? What is this?
That's from Star Wars.
Oh, is it okay?
It's one. Yeah, it's one of the sand people.
Remember, I'm not a Star Wars fan, so
I know.
There you go.
It's just so. I mean, for me, I look at that. It's like, come on. And this, but they're going for like the Mad Max feel. But this is the only thing in the map that really looks like that.
I wish.
My complaint to you when we were talking about this is that everything is just so non-flowing. It's just everything is so hit and miss. They got all these random colors. People run around. And it's like when a five-year-old tries to dress themselves. You know what I'm saying? You ever seen little kids dress themselves for the first
time? There's no layout. It's just like... It's like how I dress myself. Like I'll wear like red shorts and like a black, not even black, but like a Xbox orange or not an orange green, like neon green t-shirt. It doesn't make any sense. And it's all fake. Like none of this, it's like none of this stuff is even cool. Like, yeah. I guess the only thing that's cool that I think is the wrestling belt. That's actually cool because that's a unique thing, which that's going to take the spot of the pouch. You'll be able to skin the pouch with that. But other than that, it's just more tights with skins on them. More luchador luchador masks. Yeah, exactly. More combat boots, gloves.
Where are the heavier coats and like the longer coats, the trench coats and things like that? That's one. Anyways, the ones that actually have a different look to them from a distance. You know what I'm saying? Like those are things they promised a long time ago.
Well, isn't there? There
Everything's
is a
been the same type of. There's not like a long trench coat.
No, there isn't one of the motorcycle jackets long, or isn't there a long like motorcycle thing?
I'm looking. I don't think so.
Okay. So
I mean, I don't remember ever seeing anything that's long. I mean, in all their concept art, they showed all these things of trench coats and all these different things.
So, like, for example,
I've not seen any of them yet.
This is the thing that doesn't make any sense. This is the extreme zombie wrestling. Yet one of the pictures is one of the skins is barbed wire tights. It's just purple tights with green paint spattered on them.
Yeah.
And they say, but they throw wrestling on it. But it's, there's no theme. I mean, there's just no theme.
Okay. My complaint is that they're destroying the whole image of, I look at it as next year, when you go in this game and you're playing this in a year, what are people going to look like? Like, you got to look at what do we want the game to feel like and look like in a year when we've released all these skins. It's just going to be a little bit of everything. It's like you need to have an art flow, an art direction to where you say, I mean, look at Mad Max. It's a perfect example, whether it's the movies. Like what made that movie was a lot of how they portrayed the characters, the villains had a certain look to them. And just there was an overall feel for the whole movie or even the game. On this, it's just like there's no feel. Like there's no overall feel of even the buildings, of the landscape, of the vehicles. Like they're just things that, they threw in there. And at some point, like what are they going to do to pull this back? They're hitting a point of no return by throwing so much junk into this that eventually how are they going to get it back and try to get a little bit of art direction when they've thrown all these skins that now they can't take back from people? Like how are they going to take any of these back? People have paid money for some of these skins.
Yeah.
They're stuck with them. I mean, they're looking at the instant money like, oh, we're going to get money from these. But you got to think, like in a year from now, it's just going to be such a mess. Like you're not doing seasons or anything. Like these skins are just going to be a bunch of everything. So I don't know. I mean, that's my complaint. I just wish that they would. I just don't know what they can do anymore. I don't know how they can change it.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Party Rocker, he put in a link to a parka render that they did. So it was a work in progress. So this was 2/6 of 16. So this was a couple months ago. So this is what I'm talking about. Like they've shown that these are going to be in there, but they've never released anything like this
yet. Can you post that in the notes?
Yes.
Yeah, poor favor.
Let me get the right.
Page. If they want, it's just the skins. It just doesn't. And I get that King of the Kill is supposed to be like a fun arcade-ish style, but it's just insane. Like it's just there is so much garbage for skins. Yes. That it just doesn't, like the electric pants, they're just black with blue lines that look like lightning bolts. And you can't even see them. Like it's not the models are so low resolution, and from a distance, everybody's just a freaking block. It's the stuff's not even cool. Like if you ever skin something,
if you look at that work in progress, I do everything camo. So if you look at this work in progress,
yeah.
See, if you look at this for me, like that is better. I like that. Like that is something that I would skin every time because first of all, it covers my arms. So people don't see me from a distance having a bright color. It changes your outline against the horizon. See what I'm saying? Like that to me makes sense. That if they were going for survival, like skins that all had that feel would be perfect. But the problem is you go into survival and now you have all these wrestling skins along with that. So you're never going to get the feel of a survival game where everything is like that.
Wrestling.
You're never going to get that back.
No, you're not.
Unless they redo all the skins for Survive and say, okay, we're going to replace your skin with this. But look at how much work they have to do now. They've tossed out so many skins, they'd have to redo a ton. And people aren't going to be happy that they lost those skins that they paid $50 for on some trade.
Totally.
So.
So that's the update. That's the updated with the crate and the producer update. Now they did do a Just Survive update for the test server.
Yeah.
And so there's a few things that they did in here. The first one is the animal traps do no longer animal traps do not decay. So added decay to rabbit traps. And they actually that doesn't even make any sense. Does that? It says animal traps do not decay, and then it says animal traps decay to rabbit traps. Oh, okay. Well, added that doesn't make it. So now the rabbit traps will decay in about 2.5 days, if you don't repair them or something like that. So they'll decay and go away. Corn mash and moonshine name mix-ups fixed, so that's fixed now. Metal bars were too bulky, so they reduced the metal bars were previously 50 bulk. They've now reduced them down to 25 bulk. Workbench crafting radius was too large, which was a great advantage. I remember, Brian, I don't know if you were part of this, when we started playing again, we had that little shack and we had the workbench like against a tree and our base was like away, but we could still craft from inside.
So we would stick the crafting bench underneath the base.
Yeah, that was a good one too.
Yeah. So you could stand anywhere in the base and craft.
Yeah. Which you can't even be pissed that that's gone. Cause it's like a bug. It shouldn't even be like that. But that was, that's that. And then other than that,
so borscht doesn't stack. So borscht is what, a soup? It's a beet soup, a Russian beet soup.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like, so that was their, you know, one of the fixes. It now stacks. I never even noticed that it didn't stack.
Let's see. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm distracted. I just pulled up something last minute. Sorry, I'm all over the place. Repairing vehicles is not where I thought of something that we need to reference, and I was trying to get the link. So repairing vehicles is not working correctly. Should now be more reliable now, so they fixed that.
They made it so that deer scent lasts 10 minutes now rather than 18 seconds.
That's quite a...
That's a huge change. Yeah,
quite a bit of a change.
You would go deer hunting and you'd have to apply one every time you went and killed a deer, which is totally a waste of resources.
Yeah. And it's not even worth doing. It's just, there's no point in doing it. Now this is what I was going to get into, the blackberry eating issue. The timer for eating a blackberry was reduced to half a second instead of 4, and a new recipe is also added. 10 blackberries can be crafted into a handful of berries. And to show this off, our buddy Killcam did a little video showing this off, and he kind of talks about bulk. So I'm just going to play his little clip here where he talks it. He covers, you know, his setup when he leaves the base or whatever, and how carrying a bunch of berries at X bulk makes it different. So we're going to roll into that now, and then we'll be right back.
These changes last night after the test servers were updated. First up, there's a new crafting recipe coming into the game. Handful of blackberries. 10 blackberries combined to make one handful of blackberries. On the surface, doesn't seem like a big deal, right? Wrong. The bulk rating of a handful of blackberries as it currently stands on test servers is 1. You gain the benefit of a 20% increase to energy and hydration, all in a tiny 1 bulk package. If you're like me and never leave your base without rabbit meat and bottles of water, that represents major space saving. To gain the same benefit of carrying, say, 3 rabbit meat and 3 bottles of water at 120 bulk, you would only need to carry 6 handfuls of blackberries at a grand total of 6 bulk. When you're running around,
that's the main point of that video. But that's massive that you can now, instead of carrying 10 for 10 bulk, you're now carrying 10 for 1 bulk, which is the premise of the video. So, thanks, Killcam, for putting that video together. And there'll be a link in the show notes to watch it. He talks about some of the other stuff too.
Now, this next one is something that I have said for 1 year now, I think.
Okay.
I think it's been a year that I said, why are they not doing this? you can now get scrap metal from an empty canned food. So when you eat a canned food, it gives you one scrap metal. Remember a year ago when I said, how come when you eat a canned food
you don't get
and it's in
back.
A metal can, you don't get a piece of scrap metal back?
Yeah.
This makes no sense to me. I have a can. Why isn't this scrap metal?
Yeah.
And they finally added that in.
So this is those two things are very significant. The BlackBerry thing is huge.
As far as the crafting, like for bulk and crafting, like for you to get scrap metal, that can be used to make like arrows, right? There's a couple different things you can make from that
the whole point is now, and Killcam covers this in his video too, I would never pick up cans of food. You just run by them because it's just not even worth the inventory space. But that's totally changed now that you'll get a scrap. Now, the thing that's... I don't think it should be every time you eat a canned food, because you could go to Romero's and pick up 5, 6, 7 cans of food and instantly turn that into scrap. It should be like a 50-50 shot of getting a scrap or not getting a scrap if you had. I think this is going to be tweaked because I think it's a little OP, to be honest with you. I feel like...
Scrap metal isn't a huge thing. It's not... It's a scrap metal, which is the smaller...
Yeah,
like
it is. It's not a sheet, but it's... Unless item spawns are properly working, I mean, you could find 6 or 7 cans in a location if nobody's been there. I think that's a little OP. But that could just be me. So we'll see. But the BlackBerries and this can thing are huge.
Yeah.
Very, very, very big updates. The next thing on this list besides those two things are allow destruction of player-crafted items, which isn't in a base. So now punji sticks
can
damage.
So this is now on PvE servers. Yeah. So this, because punji sticks would be places. Now punji sticks can now be damaged on PvE servers when not on a foundation. So if they don't have the punji sticks on their foundation, let's say...
Well, that was the problem. They box off every single building.
They're not doing damage to you, but they're just placed everywhere.
Yeah, because they would just pretty much box off every single building with punji sticks, so you couldn't get into any of them.
They've made that change.
And then quest loot appearing as world loot. So quest so military having, scrubs.
Because there was they mentioned here the quest military scrubs. They were spawning in the military base when they weren't supposed to, because they were supposed to be part of a quest reward. So they made it so that now they took them out so they don't just spawn randomly at the military base, because I don't think they were supposed to.
Gotcha. So cold medicine description was inaccurate. That's been updated. The barbecue was bugged and you can't ignite it after a while. That's been fixed. Charcoal burn time. So now it's set to a 40-minute burn time for the charcoal instead of unlimited. And then modified, of course, another great skin, the AK-47 toxic skin, that can actually be repaired now. And then you can now drop the modded AK-47 from the weapon slot.
So, they word these so...
No, it's not.
They said they fixed that you cannot drop modded AK-47 from weapon slot.
So now you can. That's the whole thing.
Now you can. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like...
No, it didn't make sense when I read.
Not able to drop modded AK-47.
No, because what they're doing, if you look at it, it's bold. The issue is bolded, and then the solution is like, when I read the first one.
Sometimes they'll put something that they're putting the problem, but sometimes you read that as, here's what they did. No, it's not what they did. It's what the problem was. The way they word it is just horrible.
Yeah, the first one kind of screwed me up because I didn't understand what they were trying to do with the animal traps.
That's the thing is they say, for instance, take that sentence where they say, quest loot appearing as world loot items. That's like a statement that's what you're doing now.
Yeah.
No, it's not. They're saying, oh, that's what it was doing.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do that.
Once you read one, you understand it. It doesn't bother me. Once you read the first one and understand what they're trying to do, it makes perfect sense.
And they just need to write it in a way that
there's more issues.
Child can understand.
Well, there you go.
So you don't have to sit there and try to figure out what they're saying.
Well,
just put, nope, we fixed this.
We'll never be happy.
This was a problem. Yeah, it's odd to me.
So now you said 4 nick and it's the same link. So I don't know what the difference is here.
I had put in there it was supposed to scroll down. I put a link, I thought, to a comment. We can skip that
for now. Now Brian, being the funny guy that he is, decided he was going to coin some new terms. So Go ahead, well, Brian.
I was going through Reddit, and I just keep seeing these problems, and they all seem like conspiracies because everybody says, are you guys doing this on purpose? So first we got our Hatgate, right?
This is a big one.
So Hatgate's where they made it so all hats had the same blocking ability as helmets, which they changed it that way in survival. So people could just pick up a hat. It's exactly the same as wearing a helmet. And so people were freaking out about that. Why are you making blanket changes if these are supposedly separate games? First of all, they're not treating them like separate titles. And so they went through and did. Now they've rolled back the change of making it so hats do blocking. And I understand why they're doing blocking in King of the Kill. I mean, that's fine if you want it to be where, you know, it's just a PvP shooter. Sure, make it so hats and everything. So you can look however you like. If you want to skin your hat and have some ridiculous looking thing that isn't an actual helmet skin, now you can look however ridiculous you want to in this, right? It's not limiting the skins. Yeah. That's what they're worried about. But in survival, if you have a hat, it's not going to stop a bullet. I mean, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
It's not going to stop a bullet the first time. So this is something that they've kind of said, oh, whoops, you know, we've undid this. And then I go down and now we got bomb gate. So people are freaking out about how when you get down to two people in the very center of the smoke, now they're having bomb drops that are killing people randomly in the last however many minutes.
A little deja vu for you?
Yes. I mean, this is something that frustrates me because I have run into this too many times. So this was definitely a problem. Bomb gate. So then now supposedly they're going to turn off bombs in when there's down to two people in the final little circle where you can't really get away from the bombs, right? Yeah.
No, you can't because you'll die from the gas if you try to get away from the bombs.
Yeah, if you try to run away from the bombs, you're going to get killed anyways. And then we got zombie gate where people are saying, all right, on my server, I ran for 15 minutes and I found one zombie. You know, what's going on? And people are like, well, it's probably the population of your server. Well, why would a low population server have no zombies?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just put zombies out there. Because if it's low population, they don't have anything else to do. Let them go kill zombies. Why are you making it so that low population servers have even less reason to play?
Yeah.
Why don't you have a high population server and a low population zombie server? You know, mix it up. So if people want to have a high population, why are you basing it totally? I know they're doing it for performance because they're worried if you have too many players and they're trying to match it. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, maybe they're saying that a high population server has less zombies because of lag, but that's not what the way the person was wording it. They were saying that they're running around on a low population server and no zombies. So it should be the opposite. And then you got shotgun gate where people are now saying again that the shotgun is doing no damage, that they run up to somebody, they shoot them point blank, and they can't kill people with a shotgun. So it's just like all these problems that are, this is when you go along Reddit, like these are the top things. And just frustrating. You figure they could fix these things and they are fixing these things, but like these are huge problems that should have been caught in the test.
Yeah. You would think, right? I mean, isn't that the whole point of a test?
Yeah. So PHVCK says shotguns will be removed in the next patch that, you know, if they can't fix it, because that's what I keep hearing. Like, I keep hearing on Reddit, all right, the logic is if we can't fix it, we'll remove it and we'll add it back in 6 months rather than fix the problem. Or, you know, or they'll do a fix that just is the wrong blanket change.
Yeah.
Now, I put in here as the last thing. If you think you can fix these problems for them, Daybreak is hiring. So if you look at their list, they actually are hiring a lot of people for H1Z1. So if you say, I could do this better, and if you really think you could, then go check out a job at Daybreak because they have programmers, UI designers, everything.
Daybreak.com, daybreakgames.com/careers with an S.
Yes.
They're actually hiring a lot of people.
Yeah.
They've got 26 total pages, job openings.
Yeah, 2 pages worth, and a lot of those are...
Now, Brian, I got a great job for you. You ready for this? Senior Product Manager, Monetization and Economy for H1Z1. You're trying to figure out how to make money.
Yeah, but you're like, you're trying to keep the economy of the game up to where your things are still worth something.
Yeah,
that give people a reason to buy them.
But or you could be player retention and growth. I think that would be a good title for you as well.
then every time I have to say, oh, yeah, this game is working perfectly. You need to come play it. That would be my job to say that. There's nothing wrong.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Everything is good.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
So
yeah, more skins will fix the problem. God bless us. More skins.
When in doubt. So that's Daybreak, and that's H1Z1. Now, PAX East was this weekend, and yes. There wasn't anything too fantastic there.
I wasn't seeing any announcements. It was mostly, look at the game we already have announced.
Yeah, I may have missed, if somebody in chat's got anything from PAX East, there was so much news, it was impossible to keep on top. I really tried, but it was kind of hard to keep on top of. But I do want to show this off. This was the ARK booth. This is a real-life dinosaur.
real-life dinosaur, yeah, you can get on it.
Yeah, real-life dinosaur. You could... there's like a ladder. You could step on top of this thing and sit on the saddle. I saw the...
And they'll take a picture of you on top of a huge T-Rex.
Which is cool. I would have totally got my picture taken on top of that. And I actually...
it would be funny if both of us were sitting up there.
I thought about that, and I was like, that would have been a little odd.
It's one of those pictures you instantly regret afterwards.
Yeah, it would have been... it would have been very...
This is not going off the internet.
It would have been very uncomfortable. I would have had like my hand on your shoulder.
It would have been hilarious, though. It would have been hilarious.
It would have been pretty funny.
But people would have never let us live it down.
Maybe in the future. And then they had this ARK, like the ARK logo with the LEDs and stuff.
Little building.
Yeah, so this was their PAX East booth. And
they had a pretty big PAX East booth. I'm assuming compared to the rest of them, that was a pretty big area.
So, and then they did a big Survival of the Fittest tournament. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So that was ARK's PAX East stuff. And... I was talking to Langan about that dinosaur, and he said it's made out of it's big pieces of foam, and then they chisel it out.
Piece it together, yeah.
And he said that's probably $10,000 to $15,000 worth of foam. He said the foam is over $1,000 a piece.
Well, and if you look, Langan, this is the kind of stuff he makes.
Yeah, this is like
looked into what he does.
This is. I mean, he would know about this. That this is part of his career. So unless somebody paid for that, that's going to be a cool. Thing in their office, I would imagine.
Yeah, they need to have a huge office. And
or bring this to PAX East next year, or PAX Prime, or whatever PAXes they're going to. So that is,
They had a place on their website where people could, they took pictures of everybody. So they posted today a place. If you did get your picture taken, go find yourself, and you can download a picture.
Gotcha. Now there's some news in here that's a little, It doesn't match up with what we've been hearing in the past. So this is a headline from Engadget, and it reads ARK Survival Evolved mod will become part of the main game. So they are adding Survival Evolved mods back into the main game because they took them out when they split off.
No. So this is different. So let me explain what they're doing. So they're taking the most popular, kind of like what they did with Survival of the Fittest.
Okay.
They're taking some of the most popular mods and they're integrating them so that they're an option in the main game. So you don't have to download the Survival Plus mod. You can load your game and have it be Survival Plus. You know what I'm saying? Or if you join a Survival Plus server, it is now a game mode that's not a separate mod that you have to go to Steam and click subscribe to. It is because it's so popular, or sorry, Primitive Plus, because it's so popular, they're integrating these. Now, the question is, and I saw them ask this in here, are they paying these guys, like, are they getting something for now integrating something they made for free into this company's game?
I doubt it. They, I
know, probably not, but no, should they?
No, and here's the reason why.
They're going to be expected to keep it up, though. Here's the problem. They integrate it into the game. Now that mod provider is forced to keep it up.
No, they're not.
Is the main company for ARK going to take over and keep that mod up to date? Are they taking it away from the company? I don't think, or from the group. I don't think so.
I'm not sure what they're going to do, but if you are making, Brian, if you decide you want to make a mod for a game and they want to incorporate it, that would be the company's responsibility to handle that mod and deal with it, not yours. And if, and some companies make it would not surprise me if Wildcard compensates these people.
But that's the thing is like Primitive Plus is extremely popular.
Yes.
If they're taking it away from them, they're taking away something that they've made and worked really hard on, all the assets and everything. They're taking it away from those people, no longer letting them.
But is that not the goal of creating a mod to get it introduced into the main game?
Not for everybody. Some people enjoy the.
Well, I'm sure they're asking the people, "Can we add your mod to the game?" And they're saying yes.
Yeah, but I
would, and if not,
this
you
just
know,
creates a really weird situation.
No, like, I don't think it does. I mean, here's the thing: you're building
like Survival of the Fittest. That was a mod. So
yeah, but here's the thing: you develop a mod for their game. They allow you to mod their game, and then if they want to take elements of your mod or your mod and implement it, first I don't think they owe you anything.
Is a good thing.
Exactly. I don't know why you would develop.
Some people are going to get upset. Some people are going to get upset that first their thing that they're working on was they're no longer working on, but then you're going to have the other group of people that are like, man, this is totally cool. What we made is put in the game. Like,
I think that's the end goal of making
a
mod.
I'm just wondering, you know. Someone's going to be upset either way.
I'm not sure if somebody will be upset, but if I developed a mod, I don't think I would be pissed off that they are implementing into the game and taking it away from me. Then I would go and work on a new mod. Isn't that the whole point of building a mod? You build a modification, like how people build, start up a company, and you start up a company in hopes of getting acquired by Google or Apple or Microsoft or somebody like. I think this is the same thing. You're developing this mod.
Okay, so I have experience with this. We made Hangout Canopy.
Yeah.
It was taken away from us.
Yes.
By Google. Were we happy about that? Not necessarily.
So you had no intention of giving, you had no intention of Google implementing.
They shut us down and they started their own.
Yes.
That's not what we wanted.
Yeah, I guess
they didn't
just
even warn us beforehand. They shut it off overnight.
But that was before. That was after you were already war. They acquired you and you were working.
No, they hired us after that.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I'm saying, like, there's just I understand. Maybe that's why I'm more sensitive to this. Like, there's a way to do it, and I'm just wondering, how did they come across this? And they told those guys, you're no longer working on your mod, and we're taking it over, or they're saying, hey, you guys, we want you to maintain this, and now they're obligated to. If so, they should be giving them
Of course. If they're having to update their mod, then of course compensation would be necessary. But if I developed a free mod for a game and then the game implemented it, I wouldn't expect anything from the game. I would just be able to look back and say
Saul has something here. He says they paid the Survival Plus people $15,000 for their mod. There we go.
Oh, this is part of the contest. I forgot about this contest.
Yeah, they've been doing these contests and everything. And like these, like the, or Primitive Plus, not Survival Plus. I keep saying Survival Plus.
Okay, so
Primitive Plus and all these at the center and Primitive Plus, like these are huge projects that these people have worked
on.
They're total reworks.
Primitive Plus Survival was $15,000 is what they won. The Alienware X51 desktop and a 980 Ti. And then Valhalla, the map, in second place was $5,000. The same thing, the Alienware, and then a 960.
So part of the contest, they put in there as parameters: if you win, we may include it in the game. I mean, I'm sure that was in the fine print. If you win, you get $15,000, which is great. I mean, that's compensation.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
So there we go. Thank you for that.
Yeah, because that's what I was wondering. Is like they've got to been doing something to compensate them, because that's a lot of work making a mod like that. I mean, it's a lot of graphical time, code time.
Yeah,
very good.
So there we go.
That's a mod for $15,000. How about that?
Yeah, well, I just think that's the whole point of building. I don't know why you would build a mod
makes total sense for Arc to do this, because they are not having to develop. They're allowing other people to come up with the best ideas, right? This makes total sense to do, because they're saying, you come up with an excellent idea, we will pay you, because it would have cost us at least $15,000.
Well, plus this was a sponsorship with Alienware, so they weren't putting up $15,000 up front. I'm sure Alienware was putting.
They still would have.
No, I'm sure they would have too. But Dell put.
They would pay a developer to say, hey, we want you to create a mod, and there's the risk that that's not popular after they were done. Like, this takes all the risk out, because either people are playing it or they're not.
Yeah.
And if they're playing it, it's popular. Okay, we'll give you $15,000. It's like having a bunch of developers make stuff for you, and if it happens to work, you know, then we'll pay you. Like, yeah. That's pretty much what this is.
So so that's that. That stuff will be in the game now. And then moving on to updates for ARK. 239.1 fixed an issue that was causing weapons and custom ammo to lose their guns with custom ammo to lose their ammo when moved into the dinosaur's inventory. So if you had a gun with custom ammo put in the inventory, you would lose the ammo, which is no good.
They can be very expensive.
Yeah, they fixed the activate sound effect on the chemistry table. That's been fixed, and it removed the cannon and cannonball Ingram from the primitive servers, which makes sense because a cannonball is not primitive. So
they don't have gunpowder
in
Primitive Plus.
No.
So the problem is that you couldn't fire the cannon anyways. So what was the point?
Exactly. So there you go. That's 239.1. And then 239.2, fixed an issue with loaded chem tables, crafting costs being too cheap. So that's been fixed. The Quetzal armor building, there was a Quetzal armor building exploit that has been fixed.
I would assume if you were making armor on the Quetzal, you know, put something on the Quetzal's platform, you'd probably be able to craft something differently.
Yeah,
or like it was making to where you probably make more than you could.
Exactly. So that's been fixed. So now across all of the games, they reduced cannonball damage by 15% generally and 25% with respect to metal structures and 40% with respect to metal turrets. And then added a small amount of obsidian as a crafting requirement for cannonball. So you need some obsidian if you're crafting those. And then fix the dire bear auto-eating narcoberries, which could be...
it would fall asleep
could be an issue if it was auto-eating narcos, because it would knock
you're like,
it out.
Oh, I got this great dire bear, and for some reason, every 5 minutes, it falls asleep. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it gets knocked out, and then somebody kills it. So that's 239.2, and now you are up to date with ARK.
And they should be, I think on the 4th is when their next update's coming out. So they are May 3rd. So on the 3rd, they have another one. It's going to be 240 as their upcoming patch.
Gotcha.
And that's going to have a couple new creatures. I think 3 new creatures are what they're aiming for. And the big thing that they're putting out is the Ruins and Explorer notes. So this is going to be starting to unravel the lore of the game, because people have been saying, like, what's the history? There's no lore out yet. This is going to be the stories, the things that you can find that are actually telling you why you're there, what's happened. So that'll be interesting.
There you go.
Let's do we got a game giveaway.
Yeah, what are we giving away?
All right, so this one is going to be Tesla grad.
Yes.
The keyword will be Tesla, and I will type it in chat, all lowercase. So Tesla is the keyword, and I'll actually give the Steam link so people can see that. It's very positive as far as reviews. I was looking at this, and you were saying actually it looks like a Nintendo game, and it actually is on Nintendo and PS4 as well. But it looks like the art style on it, it looks like a very fun game. So if you're into platformer, indie, puzzle, like Metroidvania 2D games, that's what this is.
Exactly. So that's Tesla Grad, and you can enter the word Tesla in chat, T-E-S-L-A, and get yourself into that pool. So what else do we have here, Brian? I just called you Ryan.
Ryan. Okay, so Rust, this is something that came out, and I don't think we really mentioned it too much. So,
okay, go ahead. Let's take it away.
In Rust, they released a couple weeks ago a female character. And one thing that was interesting is that they report now that sales skyrocketed after they added the female character model. And what's kind of odd is that it skyrocketed with Linux users. So the us lonely Linux users that are in their basements, they for some reason they really wanted a female character in Rust, and that caused them to buy the game now. So they the sales increased by 74% when they updated, and the overall player count nearly doubled for a period.
Okay, so this is what I have to say. So first, this is from Engadget, who has been historically inaccurate with some of this stuff. Was there anything else that they did at the same time as the female? Because you fall into this thing where it's like, oh, we introduced the female and this plasma cannon that obliterates everything, and now we're going to attribute all of it being to the female being entered into the game. Was there anything else that was added?
They did a flamethrower.
Okay. So they've added some other stuff.
Yeah, so it was actually a pretty decent patch. So maybe you're right. Maybe they are,
you know, it's just
skewing it to say, hey, oh, it's all because of this. Because,
you know, gamers are lonely and don't have any female contact.
Look at these, and they're making fun of the Linux users. But why would Linux users care that there's a flamethrower? These are new purchasers of the game. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people came and
but here's the thing.
And played that already owned it.
When you purchase a game, it's a purchase on Steam. But you don't purchase it for Linux. Purchase it on Steam and you play it on whatever the hell platform you want.
Yeah.
I don't buy this. I don't buy Engadget. This stuff is always inaccurate.
So they added in this one, they added the flamethrower. They added a water bucket so you could carry water and you could put it on your head for a helmet. I don't know. they added a water barrel. They did some performance tweaks. That was the main thing. It was, you know, they did some things with weather. They fixed some weather things. You would love that.
Yeah, I'm a big
redid some sounds, but then they did the female character with eyebrows and all these things. I mean, so that was the flamethrower and the female character were the main things that they redid with that. So who knows? I mean, maybe something else. They put it on sale. Like there could have been some other things going into that, but that was their big thing. There was a huge jump in players with that patch.
Engadget is about the clickbait. That's a damn fact. So is Kotaku. Yep. They're the worst. But that's interesting. And it's nice to see that a patch, which is, again, what H1Z1 needs to do, they need to have a patch or an update or something that just skyrockets the numbers.
Yep. Gets people playing again.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, and like on this next one, they were going through and they pretty much, you know, came up with some female clothing concepts, male clothing concepts, which is odd in this, is that like your character actually starts out very nude. Like, I guess you can check a box to make it blurred or whatever, but you pretty much have naked characters. Maybe that's why they're playing with female characters. But they added just some extra items to this patch, added salt water that you're not supposed to drink and some bags for carrying water. And it's just, they're really focusing on hydration, I think, with this and food. And then they added benchmarks to the game, I guess, so they can kind of keep track of performance. So
that's good.
Yeah. So, and I think they're focusing a little bit more on the survival aspect, you know, with doing the water and focusing on the hydration and the food. So I think they're kind of now starting to go back to like, all right, let's keep this a survival game.
Yeah, I think that's good.
So, and that's pretty much, I mean, that's Rust. That was the main updates. If you look at the bottom of those dev blogs, now they're adding text that kind of shows you an intended change log. Because the other one that we were showing before for Rust was showing the actual commits.
Yes.
With the programmer's comments. So now they're having a more filtered version of the change log.
Well, it just seems like something that's a little more,
If you just want to skim and say, right, what did they change here? They're now adding that at the bottom of the patch notes. So that's kind of nice.
Well, that's good news.
Do we want to go on the next one, or do you want to give people a little bit more time?
No, I think whoever was going to enter has entered. So Tesla,
Tesla. So all right, so I'm going to go ahead and roll here, and Trey BK. So Trey BK has won.
Awesome.
And I will send you a message that has your Humble Bundle gift link in there. Make sure that you check your others. Inside of
other
Twitch.
Junk It'll or spam. Other,
yep. Whatever you have, it's going to be in there. So,
so stupid. You're
Which
sending
I don't
a
know why.
Cause you're sending a link. I think that's what.
Yeah.
Does
but
it.
They should make it to where if I've been on here a while and I'm not constantly sending links that I don't automatically go there.
Well, no, that wouldn't be appropriate. So, let's see. So other than, that's Rust. Now we did have some, Waterworld updates this week as well, which is everybody's favorite game. H2O,
so this
hide
is,
and hold
this
out.
Is the new one. This is the new game that's out as survival game, but it's based in a water world. It's not really called Waterworld.
No, but I think
it's hard to hold out H2O.
I think that's a cool little code name for it. And I'll call
it, but I'm sure he doesn't want to get sued horribly, so he won't be calling
it Waterworld. Is Waterworld like a licensed term?
Yeah, Waterworld is an actual movie with Kevin Costner. Have you ever seen this?
No, I've never seen Waterworld.
An excellent movie.
Okay, there's lots of sheltered. There's lots. Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sheltered. Yeah, I live under a freaking rock. Brian, I'm doing a
Waterworld. I mean, some people say it's horrible, but it was a post-apocalyptic movie. Very good.
Waterworld.
Waterworld.
When did it come out? 95. Now it's
before
you
were born.
It's got a 6. It's got a 6.1. Yeah, man, it couldn't have been that good.
It's actually good if you like post-apocalyptic movies.
Oh, there you go. So speaking of Hide and Hold Out, H2O.
Good Kevin Costner movie. Go check out Postman. That one was rated horribly. Put another post-apocalyptic.
Wonderful.
You ever seen Postman?
No.
The Postman, I think it's called.
No.
Yeah. I enjoyed it because I like that kind of movie, but it got horrible ratings.
Okay. Well. Thanks
all right,
for,
sorry, we'll
thanks for badgering me. I appreciate it, Brian. So the improvements for H2O, this is 0.01.7. So the current anti-cheat system has been improved. So that is good. That is a good sign that we've got anti-cheat.
This changes in the next patch notes. So keep that on short memory.
Oh, that's really foreshadowing there, Brian.
Yes.
Trying to secure the ban command to avoid that anyone else but admins can use. So making it so that if you're not an admin,
you
shouldn't be able to ban. Command added to clean the ban list in game, unban all, and then the characters. The greater than or less than. Brian, what are you doing here?
Oh yeah, you're in programming class. So,
what do you think? I don't know what the hell those are.
Don't program. Don't know what that actually is. They're like. Left arrow.
I mean, if you've ever done math, you know that's greater than or less than.
Yeah. But you've never watched Waterworld.
Oh,
I
haven't watched a movie from the early '90s. I wasn't even born. I mean, whatever. Just because you're old and you've watched all these old movies, it doesn't mean you have to badger me for it. So you can't use those in chat anymore. You can't like put like weird stuff in there with the no memes in the H2O chat anymore using the greater than or less than two symbols. So Brian, why don't you go ahead and announce is the next one the one where they get rid of the anti-cheat?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so
go ahead.
I guess cheaters were running rampant. They started. You know, whatever. I don't know if they were, because they weren't saying this. Like they said, current anti-cheat system. So they must have known, and that's why they said current, because they were making a note that this is temporary. So they started integrating the basic modules for easy anti-cheat. So that's in this one. So an admin powers are now secured by a password, so only known by the server owner. So you get this auto when you start up a server, you get an auto-generated config. That has the password in it, I guess probably because maybe the ban command was being used by everybody. And then they fixed some issues with, players not being seen and things like that. So they put in here, discovered issue. The hackers can kill everybody still. So that was at the bottom of this.
That's effective.
That was, at least they're being open about it. They're like, all right, we understand that hackers can just kill anybody they want to. So then they put out a patch, and this is B, so 0.01.71B. So they made some progress regarding the integration of easy anti-cheat. So I guess that's what they're going through, is now that they were seeing that hackers are a huge problem in games, they're integrating easy anti-cheat into the game, which is it's a decent process. So that's, I'm sure they're going to keep on working. That was done 2 days ago. So they're going to keep on integrating that in there, and hopefully that curves the problems of hackers just insta-killing everyone.
Yeah, well, it's a step in the right direction. You know, it took H1Z1 2 years to implement BattleEye. You know, at least from the start, they're working on a system that should, at least in the future, be better than writing your own anti-cheat, because
do not write your own anti-cheat is what we've learned over time.
Just don't write your own anti-cheat because won't end well for you.
Take a look at Arc.
Yeah.
They integrated an anti-cheat, a third-party anti-cheat. H1Z1 has done it to whatever success. You know, all these major games don't make their own anti-cheat.
No,
or if they do, they make it its own product, and they're like, this is our anti-cheat.
Yeah, because it's kind
they
of
don't a, just say we're going to just say put in the like no cheaters command in our programming and it's going to fix it.
There's no reason to reinvent the wheel, and that's with anti-cheat. I mean, when you've got companies,
but you need to think of it, and these guys at least they're catching it early. You need to think of it as early as possible to say, all right, you know, let's consider this anti-cheat as like let's start it when we install the engine and we start working on the game, like. Integrate anti-cheat then. I mean, that'd be what I get out of this is learn early. Pick your anti-cheat and make it a core function of the game so that the cheaters, you're able to hold them back as much as possible. So
yeah. So that's
H2O. Hide and hold out H2O. But that's three patches this week. So, you know, they're keeping up with it. So that's good. A game that is not – now, okay, so let's play the video. So the Black Death is a game that I purchased last week.
Okay.
This is a little like 1 minute, 15 second video that they put out as their early access launch trailer.
All right. And here we go. All right, that's
so I played it day one,
and
day one I could only pick up a few items.
Okay.
Like it wouldn't let you pick up any more items after you picked up a couple, and then I tried to go into, they had like a pub or whatever you could go into, and the door went, I couldn't open it, so I couldn't actually go in and interact with anybody, and I couldn't interact with any of the NPCs. So that was day one. It's like, okay, you know, maybe there's bugs. You know, they didn't, there's bugs. So I went, I waited a day, you know, they put out a patch. And so I went the next day and I could open the door. And so I went into the place and I was able, but I couldn't interact with anybody. All right, cool. So I'm like, I'm going to go run around and try to find something else. Like there was no players on the servers. Every single server said zero people online.
Oh, nice.
Every single one of them. This is 3 days after launch, but they were having server issues because the server that I was initially on wasn't, but I just thought it was odd. I mean, I didn't see anybody else. I think I was the only person playing the game because the servers were crashing and I could somehow get into them. So I was running around and I went and found this little camp that had some NPC bad guys there. So I was like, all right, I'm going to kill them and see what happens. So I go up and kill them and they spawn the second you kill them. Like the respawn happens. So you kill one and immediately another one pops up right there.
It's a never ending battle.
Yeah. So it ended up being like, I finally died because I kill one and it comes up. He's right there again. I kill one and another one comes up right there. It's like this. And the problem is that there's three NPCs. So I'm just trying to keep up, but they're coming back. It's constantly three NPCs that I'm battling. So I've put it away for a couple of days.
Did they not do any testing before they released this game?
It seemed like they didn't do any alpha testing because everything was broken when I went in.
So is this beta or this is alpha?
Alpha, yeah.
See, this is...
But nothing worked day one. Like, nothing that I intended to do. I couldn't even test the game.
And this is
all I could do is run around and pick up three items.
This is the unfortunate part of green light and early access and all this stuff is that... And people, some people argue that, oh, well, it's alpha, you should be able to play it. But when a game is unplayable,
yeah,
then it's not done.
If I can't even open a door day one, like something's wrong. Like you should have done some internal tests to make it so that players could open a door.
Did you pay for this game?
Yeah, I paid like $14.
I would have asked for a refund.
Yeah.
You should contact Steam. I mean, there's a difference between creating a game and creating it out for early access to test bugs and then putting a game out to which in this case what it seems like is they were trying to just make some money, quick capital up front. I mean, how the hell can you not interact with the door?
Yeah.
There's no logic there. At least release it.
Like do like that one game did where you're
releasing
five
buffers. Do like every other game where you created, we do closed tests.
Well, what you could do is say, hey, we need some early alpha testers because we want to test this on 500 people, right? Or even less. Say we want to test this with 50 people. We're going to give you the opportunity, you know, to purchase this and you'll be one of the first 50 testers.
Test it with one person.
Well, yeah, but
can you interact with a door or not? I mean, come on.
But then you could take those people and say, our developers are going to be on call for you. Like, we are going to be like your private repair team. So we want you 50 people to play and tell us what you find. And, you know, it may be broken for a couple of days, but, you know, we're going to work on the list that you give us. It's like the tests where these major companies, they'll say, all right, we're having a weekend. Like, we're going to play for a weekend. Do an open weekend test.
Yeah.
Like, let people download it. Let them play for a weekend. Don't sell it. Like, do that test where people come in, play for the weekend. It lets them do the demo, and then it goes away. You know, and then once you've tested a couple times and seen that you can't open doors, you can't interact with NPCs, NPCs instantly respawn. You know, everything was wrong that I can imagine could have been wrong, other than I could run around. Like, I could move around. That was it.
That just seems odd. So, that's Black Death now.
So that's Black Death. And I keep hoping, hoping it gets better, but like, there's no storyline. Like, what do you do right now? You can buy a house and like, I'm a guy who trades stuff, but I don't even know who do I trade with. Like, it just they need to get farther along in the process
before releasing their game.
I think they may have released it a little too early. Like, they don't have the core of the game in yet.
They have no core of the game in yet from what you've just described.
Yeah, I can't even figure out, like, I can't even think, what am I going to go do? Like, I can't even think of what to do. Like, I'm looking around for what am I supposed to do?
Is this game on Steam?
Yes.
Oh, this needs to be taken off Steam immediately.
And that's the problem, is I don't even know what to do in the game. Like, I go in and I run around. There's no, I don't see any other people. Like, I just don't even know what to do. Like,
is this the game that Green Man Gaming backed and this was going to be their, like, what a joke. What a joke. What, I mean,
it's just kind of frustrating.
That's good. I'm glad Green Man Gaming threw their name on this piece of junk. That's ridiculous. How can you release a game and charge somebody $14 for it knowing damn well it doesn't work? Knowing damn well it doesn't work. And that's absolutely ridiculous.
That's the thing, CHBCK is saying, well, the doors are server-side. But the problem is the day that the servers were working is when I couldn't open the doors. When everyone else wasn't able to get online, that's when the doors worked for me. It just made no sense. Like, the whole thing just didn't make any sense. I couldn't even tell, like, what part of this is broken. It was so broken.
I
couldn't say, like, this piece doesn't work. Like, I'm not sure if I was running in some offline mode. You know, maybe that's what it was. Maybe I was running in a local mode that wasn't really communicating with the server correctly. Like, I couldn't even tell. I was like, is this the game?
Yeah. Oh, that's so, who knows? It's unexcusable if you're charging $14 for
usually
a game.
When you're offline, like, you can't, like, you run off into the distance forever. That shows you how few server-side checks they're doing. First of all, there's a problem. If I can run around and interact with the map a ton, that shows that the server-side checks are almost non-existent because it never checked with the server to say, oh, wait, I'm supposed to actually to ask you if I can do this. That means cheating is going to be horrible.
Get because ready.
People will be able to send whatever they want to the server and it's never going to ask any different.
Well, there you go. Get ready.
So, all right. Anyways, we'll see. The Black Death. I keep hoping. It's one of those ones I have on my list that maybe someday it will turn.
So now we've got Miscreated in here. They did a developer video.
Yeah, I mean it's a 2-minute 20. I don't know if you really want to play it, but they're pretty much just talking. No, that's fine. They're talking. This was them being interviewed by CryEngine because you know they're one of the big people in CryEngine. So he was pretty much talking about some of the technologies that they introduced. Thanks to CryEngine. For me, I keep looking back at a lot of these things to say, oh, you know, all these things are automatic. You know, it was, we just easily were able to integrate this feature. Are all things that H1Z1 is struggling with, like internal lighting? You know how that was a big thing they keep pushing? Oh, yeah. We're going to have it to where when you walk into a building, like the lighting changes. This is something that they say, oh, it's built into CryEngine. So when, you know, we just were able to take advantage of that. You know, they did talk a little bit about the AI, which they're integrating, which right now is still not great, but, you know, it's a new system they just put in and they're tweaking it. So I understand that. And then he did some other phrase that he said it so quick and it's an internal developer term. I couldn't even catch what it was. I tried to Google it by the sound, sounded out. I had no idea what he said. So I was like, I tried to look that up. He was like, oh, we had this other great thing and it was wonderful. And I was like, what was that? Like I even replayed it multiple times. I was like, I have no idea what he's even saying. So they have some other great feature technology in there that I'm sure CryEngine understood what he said because it's some technology that's in their engine.
Cool. Yeah.
So, there we go. That's pretty much what that was in the base building. But a lot of that is thanks, you know, all these things that they're H1. And that's the main reason I wanted to do this is to point out all these things that we keep bringing up about H1Z1, like the base building's no good. You know, just all these problems should be the engine doing all this stuff, like taking care of it. That's the point of the engine. And if they had an engine like CryEngine or Unreal, they could integrate a module or have it be more automated to where they wouldn't be spending 6 months, a year integrating those simple features.
Exactly.
It would be done in a month, 2 months.
It's the benefit of using an engine that's widely circulated and has already got a lot of assets. It's one of the benefits.
Yeah.
Now, Unturned did some updates this week. So they so a few additions for the Unturned game. They added a water tank, storing water, a fuel tank, storing fuel, added a hot mystery box with four mythical effects. So if you're
I have no idea.
If you're into mythical things, I guess you can check that out.
Maybe a little like unicorns come out. Unicorn Joe would love it.
Yeah, I don't know what is classified as. I don't know everything that's involved in the mythical effects genre, but
it's a hot mystery box, though. Yeah,
it is. And then added 21 new playtime drop cosmetics, added 14 new playtime drop skin patterns, added context action for quickly stripping attachments. Those are from the guns. Added context action for crafting bandages, so you'll be able to do that a little bit faster. Added context action for converting plants into seeds, so get the seeds back from the plants that you plant. Added a context action for wearing clothing, and then added basic interactable object documentation. So
now in chat, they're saying that they need to have more things tintable.
Yes, I forgot to add that. They added tintable hot mystery boxes with mythical effects.
Yeah, tintable effects.
Tintable hot mystery box with tintable effects. Coming soon to H1Z1. So that's Unturned.
So Fallout 4 is.
I have to enter my birth date in here. Let's do that.
Yes, because it's so adult. So you know I have the season pass on Fallout, and so I get all these updates. But this is a regular update. So Fallout 4, this part here is the 1.5 update. So they're adding support for the upcoming add-on, which is going to be something either you have season pass or you purchase separately for Far Harbor. And then they put in some additional gameplay optimizations. And what you can do is if you want to have some of the latest updates for Fallout, you can go in and check a box that puts you into the beta, because that's what I did for mine. Because a lot of these features they're testing, I went in and checked the box and it gives you the early release updates. So you can kind of see what's coming up in this. So they'll have the survival mode, which will be fully released with the 1.5 update. And then they'll be releasing on the Xbox One and PlayStation 4. So in development, they mentioned here a creation kit. So this is going to be used, as people were saying before in chat, they were saying that, you know, what really keeps a game going is mods, like especially an old game. You can keep a game going for years without the developers putting a ton of work into it by having moddability on it.
Yeah, I mean, think about Fallout 3. People are playing Fallout 3. Literally, there's still people playing Fallout 3. They're still playing the mods for Fallout 3 and New Vegas. Yep. Not New Vegas so as much, but Fallout
3. They're putting actual mod support into it, so when it goes to consoles, the Xbox One and the PlayStation, they actually can have the mods in those ones as well. So But yeah, that's going to be the 1.5 update, which, as I said, is the survival update. They're going to have a much more difficult method of play and then a bunch of fixes. So, and then for the open beta, if you want, we'll have a link in here that if you want to be a part of the open beta, it's just instructions and it's got a nice video. I mean, it's a two-minute, five-second video, but it's mostly just them talking about the mod system and what they're going to be integrating. So, but they do have in there the steps for getting to be a part of the Steam beta, and then also for their launcher that they have, which will let you get into their creation kit. So, that link will be in our show notes.
Yeah. Now, Brian and I and some other people have thrown around the idea of introducing some other gaming news stories into the show. And I'm not sure how they're all going to go over, but is there any of these that you want to start off with?
Well, how about, do we want to announce the game giveaway now? Or, I mean, do you want to start it now or do you want to do it after this part?
We're going to cover all of these?
Yes. Well, we can do however many, but I'm just saying, how much time do you want to give them to be able to enter for Dark Souls?
Let's just do it then. Let's do it now.
Okay, because that way we can give them plenty of time to enter. So, all right. So the code for this one will be dark, all lowercase. It has to match. So if you don't do lowercase, if you put a capital D on this, I'm sorry, my program somehow does not understand that. And I haven't gone in and changed the code for it. I didn't write it. So, but put dark in there. This is for Dark Souls 3. Thank you to Unicorn Joe. If you want to check out his Twitch channel, you go to twitch.tv/UnicornJoe with just the J-O on the end. No E.
Very easy to spell if you want to get there.
He used to have Not a Unicorn
Not a Unicorn Joe,
but,
yeah.
But he started accepting who he was.
He upgraded it, yeah.
Yeah, and so now he's officially Unicorn Joe because all of his things had unicorns all over him anyways. And one thing I linked to him last week was Humble Bundle had, for their books, a bunch of, what are those, My Little Ponies?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
My Little Ponies. All the comic books for those?
Oh, nice.
So I was like, Joe might like these.
There you go.
So I linked to him on Twitter, and I'm sure he's already purchased them, and that's probably what he's doing right now is reading all of the My Little Pony.
Oh, good for him. Books. Yeah, got to do what you got to do. So,
yeah, Joe, he said in chat, I so got that bundle.
There you go. I don't know. Do you want to cover everything in here, or do you want to just cover a few of them?
So let's go. I mean, let's go ahead and go. Go to some point. All right. So one thing I wanted to announce is that Mojang, who was the original creator of Minecraft, he released a free game, and I'm all about games. You know that.
Just to be clear here, Notch no longer works for Mojang. So this is not this is not Notch's game. This is Mojang, the company.
Okay. Sorry. Isn't Notch Mojang?
He was. He does not work for Mojang anymore.
It's Mojang stuff. Oh, okay. Henrik Pedersen. Yeah, that's correct. Okay, so
yeah.
So this
he bought
is,
some
this
like crazy like
that
2.3.
He left and
he bought some crazy like $2.3 million house out in California.
And he made Scrolls, which came out a while ago.
Yeah,
he's owned into that. So this is by Mojang, the company that was him, and then is now its own company. So, but this is going to be. It's called Crown and Council. So if you want to check that out, we'll have a link to it. You can go on Steam. It's free to play. I mean, it's different. Like, they're into the pixel art, whatever. They're a big enough company. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of its own art thing, but I like it when they kind of do pixely, but with some clear aspects to it. Like, this is 100% pixely.
Yeah, I think the pixel thing has kind of worn off. I mean, every freaking game is, oh, we're pixels. I mean, whoa.
Okay, like the game that we gave away earlier, it was kind of a mix.
It was a fancy... fancy art style that
see, I like that. I don't like it when they go 100%. Like, it doesn't need to be. I lived through this era. Like, there's so much, throwback that I like to have, but I do like it when not all of it's pixely. Like, put some of the feel in there, but there's a reason that we're buying the remastered versions of games and we're not playing the original, King's Quest. We want the remastered.
Exactly.
Because it was so pixely. Back then it looked great, but it doesn't look good anymore. So
yeah. So now we got some Steam kind of info in from 2015. And I'm going to cover a few games on here that we've talked about in the past. So this is top games by estimated revenue. And yep. this was April through December of 2015. And the few ones that jump out here are Rocket League, which is a big one that we've played before. That came in at number 6. Mad Max was number 8. That was another big one. Arma 3 was in at 11. Ark Survival Evolved was on 14th on this list. And then H1Z1 in here, sales, just about $1,952,000 in sales. So you can average out, say, about $1 million they made on Steam last year, which really makes you sit back and wonder
where all that money goes.
What the hell's going on? Plus, this doesn't include keys or crates or anything else.
They're making a lot of money on keys.
Well, I mean, clearly, that's how they funded the Invitational last year. The prize pool was, however many thousands of dollars, and it was funded by 25% of key sales. So they're making bank on this game. And the total, I totally got that wrong. I'm sorry, they made $11 million in revenue. I was reading the wrong column. They had about $1 million sales. Revenue of that was $11.5 million in that. So my statistics were wrong with that.
Yeah, we forgive you.
My bad.
Now, this chart was shown to me by Supa, who watches our show. So thank you for giving that information to me. Because for me, I looked at it and I was like, I look at the games that are around it, and a lot of those games are AAA titles. And I don't view H1Z1 as a AAA title.
No, but it's up there. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's odd to me they made all that money. Killing Floor 2, like, I don't know. I never played it.
I thought that was a free-to-play game, to be honest with you. I think I have a copy of it.
No, I don't. It's not free-to-play. I don't have it.
Hmm.
I've seen it, but I don't know. Maybe that was a great game. I've never played it.
Yeah, neither have I.
But like Ark, Arma 3, which mainly probably because of DayZ, that's the reason it's up there. Mad Max did very well. Number 8.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Rocket League is number 6. I mean, that's high up there. Fallout, Grand Theft Auto 5, like those are huge title games. And the fact that they're up there with them, like if you put a screenshot side by side of Grand Theft Auto next to H1Z1, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Not close.
So that's some Steam stats from 2015. Now you have a Kickstarter on here for a new first person shooter, and you said something about the developers for this. So it's called Blackroom, and it's called Blackroom: A New FPS.
Now I'm not saying that people go and get this. It's really up to you. But I thought it was interesting because these are two developers that were from very big games. So one of them worked on Doom, and I'm trying to find the exact where they put it on here, but it's them coming back and coming back from huge studios and coming onto Kickstarter, and they don't really have any gameplay. Like, this is all concept art. And so this will be interesting to see, because they're not actually presenting any game yet. Like, they're writing down theories. And I'm kind of curious, is this enough? The fact that these guys came from, one of them worked on Wolfenstein 3D and Doom. So that's the art director, Adrian Carmack. And then John Romero, who's released like 130 games. He said 111 of those have been published commercially. So, I mean, he's got experience. He started back in 1979. So he's got experience, but do you think that's enough with how saturated the market is with games nowadays? Do you think that that's going to be enough to get him $700,000?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been kind of turned off by the whole Kickstarter early access.
I mean, are they coming in a little bit too late to where people are like, oh, another Kickstarter? Because you got to think, it's been 31 days to go. Like, are they giving him a couple extra days? Isn't it usually always 31 days? It
starts at 31 days.
Yeah, but it's been a couple days and there's still 31 days. Like, is this some new magic?
No, it needs to be funded by May 27th.
But it says 31 days to go. Yeah, but they released it like two or 3 days ago. It's just weird that it still says 31 days. It's been more than 24 hours since they released
It said 32 days when they first released it.
32, okay.
So yeah, 32 or 33. Okay. Yeah, 32. They released it yesterday.
So 31 days to go. They're at $107,712. They got to make $700,000 to fund it.
Yeah.
They've got 1,853 backers. So this will be interesting. It's all concept. It's a first-person shooter that's based in a simulation. So they pretty much can get away with whatever they want using that game mechanic, right? They're not limited to any real-world thing because it's some simulation gone wrong type of thing is what I've gathered out of it. So, yeah, this will be one to keep an eye on if you're into that sort of thing. But I haven't, you know, being that they don't have any actual gameplay, I don't think they've done anything other than draw pictures so far. Because it's not going to be out till the end of 2017, I think.
Yeah, that's a concern.
Winter of 2018.
Nice.
So, I think they're just saying, hey, is this going to fund? We're not even going to, you know, these guys have done enough. They're like, we're not even going to touch it unless it funds.
Yeah. There you go. So, all right. We got one more thing on here.
All right. So this is another game engine news. So this is released by Crytek, and they are actually licensed to film developers to be able to integrate their CryEngine into what they call Film Engine. And so this is going to – they're trying to get it to where their engine is used more for making movies and things like that, get into that whole world. So this is CryEngine. They're calling it Film Engine. You can go to filmengine.com if you want to check it out. If you're into making scenes and things like that – because remember they did that one release with CryEngine where they had that alien – or not
yeah,
alien,
that, that video thing that they showed. Yeah.
I think that was kind of hint at this.
Yeah. Like I would say
– cut scenes and everything.
That's exactly – that was what my mind went to originally.
Yep. So I think that this – that was more of a teaser of, hey, you know, we got it done. You know, this is going to be integrated, and now they're creating something just so that the people making the films don't have all the game aspects to it because they don't need all that stuff. They're just making scenes. So,
yeah, there you go. That's Film Edge. You can get that. You can get more information on their website or in our show notes at infectionpodcast.com. So we're going to do current players, and then we'll roll. So you can enter the word dark in chat, D-A-R-K. To possibly win a copy of Dark Souls 3, thanks to our friend Unicorn.
We got 33 people that have entered so far.
Yeah,
so
keep entering. You have a few more minutes here to enter that. So Dark in chat. Let's get into it. Current players currently playing H1Z1 combined 10,528. The 24-hour peak for that 17,134, and the 70 peak 20,484. Let's break it down by game. Start off with Just Survive, currently playing that, 3,849. The 24-hour peak was 5,649, and then the 7-day peak, 7,518. Moving on over to King of the Kill, better numbers than Just Survive there. Currently playing that, 7,094. The 24-hour peak for that, 12,074, and then the 7-day peak, 14,062. Now, moving over to Ark. This is Ark Survival Evolved. Currently playing that. 30,262. The 24-hour peak for that was almost 50,000. 49,072. Yep. And then the 7-day peak for this is just insane. 62,215. Now,
and they just broke 3 million sales of their game.
Now, this is the unfortunate part. So they did that big Survival of the Fittest event at PAX, and the numbers don't seem to reflect it, at least not yet. Currently playing that, 1,143, the 24-hour peak for that, 1,972, and then the 7-day peak, 2,727. Yep. So the numbers for Survival of the Fittest, at least at this point, have not been affected by
If that. You look at their total owners and players, like that is a consistent... As far as the total owners, it's going up. People are downloading it. But if you look at like the total players, it's consistently going down. Like the 2 weeks, number of people that played in the last 2 weeks is consistently going down.
Total owners and total downloads are two different things, though. If you own, if you paid for Ark, you get Survival Evolved, correct?
So that's everyone who's either downloaded it or had it before. Like,
I'm not sure about
that. It's a free-to-play game. That's the thing, is it's a free-to-play game.
Is it a separate...
It's a separate DAXE, so okay. It's a separate download. So this is people that have actually now, after the fact, gone and downloaded it.
Gotcha.
So it's they're at
almost 1.5 million people that have downloaded it. And it says that the total players is about 730,000, but the players in the last 2 weeks is now at like 207,000. So that's been slightly going down, like every week slightly. So we'll have to see if people keep playing this game, because the players, the total number of players has been consistently dropping on this. So
yeah, which is unfortunate. I was hoping the PAX East would kind of bring that up, but I guess not. And then finishing off here with Rust, 19,737 people currently playing that. The 24-hour peak, 34,328. And the 7-day peak, 45,879. And that is current players. Now, yes. I guess we can roll, and then we'll get on with the tip of the week.
All right, so let's go ahead and do our final. And this is for, as we said, Dark Souls 3. All right, so Arrowhead 27 has won. So, Nick, you'll have to... So yes. On this one, because it's a Steam gift, you'll have to make sure that you contact Nick on Steam. So if you go to be a part of our Steam group and you send him a message. Actually, what you can do is, if you want to send him... I'll give you his contact link. You can send him a message now so that he can contact you to arrange to make sure it's the right person on Steam.
Yes, please do that if you... well, you mean you're obviously in chat. So... Arrowhead, if we're not friends on Steam, look me up on the Steam group and I'll get that to you.
Hopefully. You might want to send a message right now, when the show's done, just to get the
do it now, because if you do it later, I'm not going to get to it until later. So if you want the game now, do that while you can. Brian, you do a segment every week.
Yes. Right. So this is tip of the week, where I go through and it's either a tip that's related just to either a survival game or one of the games we're playing, or it's a general overall tip. This one, I'm sorry if it's a little rude. I sent Nick a message earlier saying, hey, is this one okay? But we'll find out. So this is my tip of the week. All right, so in this tip, I wanted to tell you guys, learn what a game is capable of. Because Nick and I mean, I get really frustrated. Like, why aren't they doing this in a game? So look at the engine and the technology that's behind the game that you're looking at playing. You know, this may be a game that you don't even have yet. So when dealing with alphas, especially, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, we talked about, a game that I just bought this past week, The Black Death. I don't really know what engine it's on. I don't know what it's capable of. You know, they may never go past where they're at today. So I need to do some research, figure out what they're running on. So when you look at a game, if they're built on an old engine, it's going to have very, very limited capabilities. Like, it may be stuck in DirectX 9, which, as games are becoming consistently DirectX 11, DirectX 12, and then they start releasing future ones. If you get a game that's stuck in the original DirectX 9, it's not going to look like these new games coming out. And unless they do a total rework of the engine, it never will. So, DirectX 10 gives you, DirectX 10 Plus gives you the fancy lighting and the textures and even the movement of hair and a lot of these capabilities that we're looking at it saying, oh, this looks great. That is the engine making it capable of doing that. So it will not be capable. So these older engines are not going to be capable of doing what you see these AAA games doing today. So before you buy, and don't be afraid to go look and say, hey, all right, what engine is this game built on? If it's built on an engine that you've never heard of, you're taking a risk. If the company is saying, all right, this is built on the latest version of Unreal, or this is built on CryEngine. I mean, 3 is not bad, but if it's built on CryEngine 5, you know that they're really thinking about, all right, we want to get the most out of this game possible. And they have the most room to grow from. So it's very possible that when you see an alpha of a game, when it comes out, that may be as good as that game is ever going to get, graphics-wise, even maybe physics-wise. Like, they may have put in whatever it's capable of doing, and it's not going to grow beyond that. So just be prepared and, go do your research. Learn what the different engines are. Learn what the technologies are. What is the difference between a DirectX 9 game and a DirectX 12 game? go and learn, because you'll be really surprised that when some of these games, you know, they may be getting as much as they can out of that old engine, but that's going to be it. Some of these games are just barely tapping, you know, what is capable right now, and they're going to grow from there. So don't be afraid to do some research.
Yeah, do some research, but I'm going to have to disagree with you on part of that. I wouldn't not buy a game because of the engine it's on.
If it's one that you're thinking is going to grow beyond what it is right now.
I don't know. I feel like that's very broad.
Let's take, for instance, the Black Death. Let's say it's built on an old engine.
Okay.
And we look at the graphics and they're not bad. Well, if I'm expecting that they're going to have some really fancy lighting and the scenes are going to be beautiful, it may never. Like if it's built on an old engine, which I don't think it is, but if it's built on an old engine, it may be that they've gotten every little bit out of that engine they can to make it look how it looks. You know, I mean, it doesn't look bad.
Possibly.
But you know, if they were working in the latest versions of CryEngine or Unreal, like they can bring in physics and they can bring it. It's got a great modular system.
Yeah.
To where even if they don't have the programmers that are capable of it, they can bring in a system that will take care of the day-night cycle, that will integrate weather for them. They need to have enough capabilities to be able to maintain it.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know about judging I mean, that's literally the definition of judging a book by its cover when you decide if you're going to buy or not buy a game based on its engine.
I'm judging the book on the paper it's written on to say whether or not this book is going to stay up and be quality. If it's paper thin like a magazine, I may not want to buy that book because, you know, it's going to fall apart on me. I mean, that's the closest thing.
I don't know.
Whether the contents, you can make a great contented game on an old engine if you're going for story and maybe mechanics. Because Mario was great as far as mechanics, right?
Yeah, well, debatable, but yeah.
Okay, well, you're wearing a Mario shirt right now, so...
Yeah, but the Mario games the Mario games on the N64 were pieces of shit. They were awful.
Well, I'm talking about the original Mario. If you look at that, I mean, that was before engines existed.
Yeah.
And you know, that game, it was all about mechanics. Well, that's what you're going to get. You're not going to take that original Mario platform, and you're not going to get...
I do not co-sign on this. I do not co-sign on this tip. I don't know. I don't know. I don't buy it.
I'm all about the immersion. You're getting there. I'm all about the immersion, and I just see that there's so much more capability of immersion in the new engines, to where it feels like even they were talking about the lighting. When you walk into a house and you've been out in the sun, like everything seems darker, like it does in real life. That as you're walking in the house and your eyes adjust, like the light gets brighter. Like those little details for me make a difference. You're not going to get that really without, as you're seeing with H1Z1, a ton of work of them trying to integrate it now because they never put it into their original games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is all these features they're having to program in by themselves. If they would, if H1Z1 originally would have been put on Unreal, all they'd have to be doing is converting up to the more recent versions. They just have to be changing their assets.
I just feel like this is a situation where you get into where you assume every game on Unreal is going to be great because they've got a good engine.
Half of it is the engine.
But exactly, you could be running on Unreal Unreal 26, and if you just got a crappy development team, it doesn't matter what engine you're on.
Well, and that's the thing, is I look at it as if you're going to run a race, like I feel like when you're running on a really old engine, you're really shackling yourself, and you're making it that much more difficult to get farther ahead. Or even, I mean, take a car example. If I want to have a really fast car and I want to have it like look cool, I better put in a good engine. You know?
Yeah.
Because I can tweak this really slow and weak engine on this little car as much as I can, but it's only gonna go so fast. And it's only gonna sound so good. You know what? If you put like a 428 or a 440 block into a Dodge, you don't have to do all these tweaks to it. By itself, it's good. And then if you want to take it to where you're trying to get, you know, under 10 seconds on a racetrack, then you go and do tweaks to it and you get that much farther ahead. But you're really shackling.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on this one.
All right.
I can't be that quick to judge a game based on its engine solely.
One thing is, do some research. If you think the game looks really cool, at least look at the engine they're on and see if they're capable of going beyond where they're at today.
Yeah.
mechanics aside, like people can make cool things happen in really old.
That's that, and I think that's the point. Is if you're not buying games because of the engine, you could be you could be shooting yourself in the foot. Yeah. So who knows?
Well, we'll see. That's been something we've been dealing with. Like as we say, oh, this new engine is going to come out for H1Z1, and then we realize it never would. For me, that was like, okay, well, I don't think they're going to move too much beyond. They're doing some as much. If you look at what their artist updates are, like they're doing a lot with that DirectX 9 engine. They're doing a great job on DirectX 9, but it's like, why do you want to take a Pinto and put a turbo into it? Like,
yeah,
what is the point?
Alrighty, well. You, I don't know. Okay. I don't agree, but that's fine. That's the whole point.
Yep. We don't always have to agree.
No, and that's the good point about this. So, I think that is it. Definitely check out the Steam group. We're doing H1Z1 KOTK, King of the Kill, Friday night, 9:30 Eastern. Just hop in the TeamSpeak. It's infectionpodcast.com. And we'll be doing that. Brian, anything else for you, sir?
Yeah. I'll give out contact info. If you want to find me, go ahead and go to buydetect.com or at Boise Computer. And if you're not on our Steam group, as he said, make sure you join our Steam group. It's an excellent way to find and join us on Friday night because we will be playing some King of the Kill. And put it in your schedule every Friday night. You know, if something comes up, I guess we could announce that we're not doing it, but we're always going to have it in the schedule so you can plan ahead, check out about a week beforehand and see what game we're going to be playing. So it's already on your computer.
Alrighty. Awesome. Thank you very much, Brian. Of course, check out our website. Here we go. It's Nisco. It's steamcommunity.com/groups/infectionpodcast. So if you
go to our website, it's on the upper right there too. There should be a link that goes there as well.
Yeah. So, we'll send a Steam. There will be a Steam notice that goes out. Now that it's a scheduled event, there is a Steam notice that'll go out. And Landgun and Saul will both have access to do that. So they'll be doing that stuff. Follow us on Twitter. Brian and I have really kind of picked up our game on Twitter. Where Brian was haggling some developers today, I saw, because he's got nothing better to do when he's at school. Badgering miscreated developers or something.
Yes.
Just badgering them for no reason. Other than that, you can go to our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. The podcast app thing again. If you were unable to download our show last week, go to our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. Go to the contact page. And send us a contact request with the app that you use so that we can...
Yeah, that way, because right now it will be working. And that's the problem, is if it wasn't working, we didn't need to know which one it is so we can contact those apps and say, hey, you need to upgrade your technology so that if I turn the feature back on in 6 months, that they will be working.
Exactly. So that's... So just so you know that, you'll be good. You'll be good to go with that. So guys, that is going to do it for episode 67 of Infection, the Survival Podcast. My name is Nick Craig. At Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website, and we'll see you next week for Infection. Have a great week, everybody.